We're going to pick up where I left off just a couple weeks ago. Acts chapter 11. We're going to start off at the end of the chapter. Go ahead and stand as we read from God's Word this morning. Okay. Acts chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw evidence of the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. The word of the Lord this morning. Go ahead and have a seat. This morning, I'm extremely thankful for the opportunity to actually pick up where we left off on our journey through Acts. This message was actually intended to be for last week when Jeannie was coming with us, came and spent time with you, and I look forward to hearing the message she shared. But when we were in deliberation as far as letting her know what we are doing and whether she wanted to do something from Acts or do something on her own, she initially planned on talking about Barnabas. And then she's like, you know, I really feel led, like I need to do something different. I'm like, wait, you go where you feel led to go. I won't have any say in that. You do what you feel comfortable with. And so because of that, I actually inherited this message about Barnabas and Saul. And because of that, it's actually one of those things where sometimes I think God's timing is better than I could ever plan things out. And one of the things that was a blessing was this week I had the opportunity to watch Barnabas at work when I was my time at the special needs camp this week. And so having been able to watch Barnabas in action during the week, this topic is much better suited for this week. Although I didn't get to just see a Barnabas at work this week, I got to see more than one Barnabas at work. So I don't know if the plural of Barnabas is Barnabai, like octopus and octopi. I don't know if that's adequate or not. There are also female versions of Barnabas at work serving at the camp that I was at. So I don't know if there's a female version of Barnabas, maybe Barnabarbie or something like that. I don't know. But I saw Barnabas in different forms. There's more than one, and there was all different kinds of Barnabas at work at the camp. If you didn't already know about it, I spent my week at the special needs camp, which is sponsored by our district called Everyone Cares Camp. And it is at this camp each year that I get to see dozens of people, from teenagers to adults, serving dozens and dozens of special needs adults. We don't know a whole lot about Barnabas from the book of Acts, but from what we do know about Acts, I know that the spirit of Barnabas was alive and well in the midst of that camp, and has been for the years that I've been a part of it. The first appearance of Barnabas is in the book of Acts. It's actually in chapter 4, so go ahead and flip back just a few pages. I'm going to read just a short part from Acts chapter 4. At the very end of Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 36. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 36. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. At this point, Barnabas has already literally made a name among for himself in the midst of the apostles. His real name is Joseph, but he has such a reputation with the disciples, with the apostles in particular, that he inherits a nickname of sorts. Barnabas is known for being an encouragement to those around him. And so when he is sent in chapter 11, when he is sent to Antioch, it's no surprise that Barnabas does what Barnabas has been doing all along. Barnabas is an encourager. He's an encouragement to those who are around him. And so he encourages the believers who are gathered together following the persecution and the scattering after the stoning of Stephen. He encourages those people who are gathered together to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. When it comes to the word encouragement, it's important that we think about something bigger and better than just a cheerleader or somebody that's an eternal optimist. It's always happy no matter what the circumstances happen to be. The name that's used to describe Joseph of Cyprus is a name that is intimately connected to the name for the Holy Spirit in the book of John, which we spent some time going through. And it's the description of the paraclete. The word encouragement is actually the very same word as paraclete. And so paraclete, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, is bigger than just being an encourager. The Holy Spirit is a comforter, a helper. It guides and directs. It convicts. The name itself shows that the Spirit comes alongside of us. In fact, the two words paraclete just means it comes alongside. So the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. And so that's the description we get of Barnabas. He's somebody that comes alongside. There's a scene in the first released Star Wars movie, A New Hope, where Darth Vader says, "The Force is strong with this one." It's in a scene where he's chasing after Luke Skywalker. He's flying around, and he knows that there's something different about this young boy. It has to do with the strong relation that they have to each other. When it comes to the apostles' renaming of Joseph, the name they call him indicates that when it came to the work of the Spirit in the life of Joseph of Cyprus, the spiritual force was strong with this one. The name Barnabas implies that Barnabas is living in step with the Spirit, who comes alongside as a comfort and a help and an encouragement. He lived a life that was full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and that is a calling that is not unique to Barnabas. We are all called to live that kind of a life. The best way to describe Barnabas would be to say that he exhibits the full, mature fruit of the Spirit, the kinds of things we spent May and June talking about. All of those things we spent time talking about, all those qualities are displayed in the life of Barnabas. And those kinds of people naturally encourage and uplift others. Barnabas did not have a special calling or a special kind of giftedness in order to encourage others. It was just something that he did as a natural part of what he did, of his life, a life that's already been shaped and influenced by the Spirit. Becoming a Barnabas actually takes time. And since the ability to be a Barnabas is tied to the work of the Spirit, not only is the ability to be a Barnabas a universally available ability, it's also an ability that takes time. It develops over time as a process. Being a Barnabas doesn't just happen on its own. Being a Barnabas happens when time and time again you find yourself in situations that encourage the development and maturity of the fruit of the Spirit. And just like a junior hire that goes through an awkward growth spurt, and that can be painfully awkward at times, the kinds of things that foster spiritual growth and maturity can also be awkward, which is why I do what I do when it comes to this special needs camp. When someone says that they volunteer at a special needs camp each year, there may be certain qualities about that person you may think that they have automatically. Somebody who would do that sort of thing must be extremely kind and caring. They must be compassionate and patient. They must have a particular calling for that kind of work with that population of people. Here's the thing, though, when it comes to those kinds of assumptions. I am none of those things. I have not been doing the things that I have been doing at this camp for the past 8 years because I have any of those admirable or valuable qualities. I got started helping at that camp and have continued helping at that camp precisely because I do not have those qualities. However, my desire and my prayer each year as I head into that camp and the days leading up to it in particular, my prayer is that God would use that time, use those experiences to shape me in a way that shows the work of the Spirit growing in my life. I don't help at this camp because I have patience. I help at it because I need patience, and this camp helps me. I don't help at this camp because I'm selfless. I help at the camp because I'm very selfish, and this is one of those weeks that really roots out the selfishness in my life. I help at this camp because I need to work on that. The very first night of my very first day at this camp, I spent basically with another camper, another buddy, trying to figure out who was going to arrange the ride home. We came up with a large group of people who were all helping at this camp. And so since we rode up with other people, we couldn't just drive ourselves home. Otherwise, we might have actually done that. But we spent the night, or a couple hours, just commiserating with each other before we went to bed about who was going to arrange the ride the next day, because we weren't going to make it through the week. So that was our plan, which speaks to just how much I needed this camp. In order to be shaped into a Barnabas, we have to be willing to do the things that can carve us into the likeness of someone like Barnabas. And that process can be challenging because people like the Apostle Paul can be very difficult. Over the course of this week, I saw numerous camper and buddy duos, volunteer buddies who are paired up with special needs campers, and there are a wide variety of campers at this particular camp. On the one hand, you have some of the more active campers who are constantly on the move. They can't sit still. They're sitting at one table. They want to go talk to somebody. They're constantly moving from table to table. When it comes to the activities, they're constantly going around. And so those are the duos where you always see the buddy following along behind, trying to keep up with the campers, because campers just don't stop. And when it comes to the end of the day, those buddies are usually the ones that are like, I'm going to bed. I've had a long day chasing this person around all day long. I'm tired. That's on one side of the equation. On the other side, we have volunteer buddies who are trying to encourage their buddy to get involved. There's some buddies that they're really hesitant to try new things. Sometimes they're really slow going from one event to another. Sometimes they have walkers. Sometimes they have wheelchairs. Sometimes they literally are just taking their time going very slowly. And so those are the situations where you see the buddy is out in front trying to coax the camper along, trying to coax them into being involved in what's going on. And it's a situation where, for both of these situations, you have a buddy and a camper who are tethered together. They're trying to work together as a team when it comes to going through the week. So you have the one who's constantly trying to keep up with their buddy, and you got the ones who are trying to get theirs to actually speed up a little bit. What if, instead of the word tethered, so being tethered to one of the challenges for these people is for each of these kinds of campers, is being tethered to somebody else means you can't go at your own pace. For those buddies that are wanting to go faster, they have to slow down. For those buddies who are wanting to slow down a little bit, they have to pick up the pace. So the challenge when it comes to being tethered together to another person in a way like that is a growing experience. What if instead of the word tethered, I used the word married? Is it just me, or does being married reveal all sorts of selfish tendency that I never, ever knew existed before when I was single? Prior to being married, nobody ever told me that when you tied the knot, you were actually tying that knot in the middle of a tug-of-war rope. You know, those big, long ropes, you have a knot in the middle, and you try to, you know, so you can determine who's winning and who's losing based on where that knot is. Sometimes being married or tethered to another person can feel like a tug of war that's happening when you tie that kind of a knot. The wedding ends and the tug of war begins for who's going to get their way in different things. When it comes to the camper and buddy pairings, Barnabas got paired up with an extremely difficult camper as far as I'm concerned. There's nothing that I've ever read that would indicate that Paul would be an easy person to be tethered to. He seems like a rough guy on the edges. He seems like he's somebody that wants to drag you around, but at the same time, he also had vision issues. So he had somebody that you needed to lead by the hand. And who wants to lead somebody by the hand that's a grumpy kind of person? It seems like he was always worked up about something. Perhaps the spiritual maturity of Barnabas is what made him the ideal candidate to come alongside of Paul and serve with him in the proclamation of the gospel. Now, I need to get a second opinion on something important, so if you could help me out with this. It has to do with this banner we have up here. It says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Now, I know I'm closer to it than you, but do any of you see an asterisk by the word everything at all? I don't see an asterisk or anything by everything. When it says, I can do everything, it's saying I can do everything. Now, last night I looked in the Greek. There's no asterisk in there. There's nothing in my regular Bible that I use. There's nothing in there that would indicate there's some sort of a loophole to that sort of a thing. So, and when I looked in the Greek, the word for everything actually does mean everything. And the reason I bring that up is because far too often I hear Christians who know this verse and quote this verse on a regular basis. They know it by heart. Far too often I hear Christians say, oh, I could never, ever do that. Sometimes when I'm talking about something like special needs camp, this is what I do. These are the people who I serve. And I hear a lot of people say, oh, no, nope, I couldn't do that. That's not something I could ever do. There are campers who require more assistance than other campers, and there seems to be the belief that it takes a certain kind of a person with a certain kind of a skill set to perform the necessary duties when it comes to coming alongside and serving people with special needs or other kinds of challenging people. What I want to suggest to you this morning is that being a Barnabas does not require a special kind of skill set, but it does require a special kind of spirit. A kind of spirit that is universally available and a kind of spirit that can empower us to do all kinds of things in the name of Jesus, even the difficult things. And it's by stepping out and doing things that we do not think we can do, which allows God's Spirit to do a special kind of work inside of us. A work of the Spirit that helps a follower of Christ develop and mature like the Spirit did in the life of Barnabas. That's one of the more exciting things, that one of the other reasons why I go to camp. I go to this camp because I know it's going to challenge me in some ways that I need to be challenged. But one of the more exciting things for me is seeing the kids at work, kids that are in junior high and high school. And I can't help but think that when I was that age, could I have done the kind of service that they're doing? And a lot of times my answer to that is probably, no, I don't think so. I don't think I had that kind of maturity in junior high and high school to even want to do that kind of service. And so it's always exciting for me to be able to see kids like your kids, and you should be proud of your kids and how they did helping at this camp. But I always love seeing kids that are involved in Bible quizzing going out and seeing how they grow and mature in the way that they serve others. It seems to me, when it comes to becoming a Barnabas community, it seems to me that our world is in desperate need of more Barnabas-type people, but at the same time, people are reluctant to having someone come alongside and actually help them. People would much rather figure things out for themselves. If you go to a bookstore, Barnes & Noble or wherever, the largest section in that bookstore is the self-help section. Instead of having someone else come alongside and help you, just go to this book, go to this section, find the right book, read it, and you can fix yourself. People will wait the longest of times before asking for any help if they do finally even ask for it. Their marriage might be a wreck, finances might be a disaster, addictions might be out of control, all sorts of problems going on, but nobody wants somebody to help them. Nobody wants somebody else to come alongside and walk through it with them. Nobody wants a Barnabas. But how do we walk through these kinds of problems when it comes to the body of Christ? Is it easy for the church people to do the very same thing? Is there a reluctance to having people come alongside your life and be the kind of person Barnabas was for others at times when you really do need it? In the time where Barnabas is encouraging this collection of believers in Antioch, it's following the persecution. You have people that are trying to make sense of things and trying to figure out what to do next. And Barnabas comes alongside of them, and he's an encouragement to them and a peace to them. Years ago, I came across a saying that I've no doubt said numerous times. It's one of those phrases that's easy to remember, and Lori and I have used it on different occasions. And it's something that I saw a coworker of mine had. She had a desk at the Resolve Center. She had a desk, and on it, she had a little sign, and it said, "Not my circus, not my monkeys." Basically, someone else's drama is their problem and not mine. And my drama is my own business and not yours. You take care of your circus, and I'll take care of mine. Not my circus, not my monkeys is not true when it comes to the body of Christ. We are tethered together in such a way that your circus is my circus, and your monkeys are my monkeys. And the way the last 2 weeks have been, it sure does feel like it's been a little bit of a circus for different people and the things that people have been going through. When life feels like a circus for anybody in the body of Christ, for whatever the reason, we are called to come alongside in encouraging ways like Barnabas. Go ahead and stand with me. We have a closing song we're going to do. But one of the things I want us to think about is, like with this camp, you know, I get involved in it because I know it's going to stretch me in ways that may not be, it may be uncomfortable, it may be awkward, but I know that it's something that I need to do. Perhaps there's something that God has maybe been calling you to do, something God wants you to try, something new you've never done before, but there's a resistance to it. Maybe you've got a list that you've put together, a list of reasons why, no, you can't do that because of your list. But here's the thing when it comes to that list. Anything you have on that list, as far as why you can't do something, is negated by the everything in that verse. Whatever that list is, you say, I can't do this because, well, that says you can do everything. So that means with the power of Christ active in your life, you're able to do all sorts of things that you probably don't think is even possible. And so it's by stepping out and doing the things that we do not think we can do, which allows the Spirit to do a work inside of us. And at the end of that, you can always say, I know it wasn't me. I could have told you before trying that I could not have done it. It's only through Christ that we could have done whatever it is that God might be calling you to do. A work of the Spirit that helps a follower of Christ develop and mature like the Spirit did in the life of Barnabas. I've got some good news. So that's good news and bad news. The bad news is that list doesn't work anymore. But here's the good news. And the good news is that for those who do venture out and are willing to try new things and are willing to be stretched beyond their own limit and their own comfort zone, the good news is that God is enough. God has always been enough. And so God has given us, more than just the Spirit for that journey. We know that the Spirit comes alongside of us as an assistant, as a helper, as a comfort. But what we learn from Barnabas is that God has given us more than that. He's given us the Spirit, but he's also given us people like Barnabas. Each of us has the opportunity to come alongside others in the body of Christ in the same way that Barnabas came along the people in his church in his time. And so maybe, hopefully, we can find opportunities to be that for each other. We're going to sing this song, and after we sing, if you could come to the front, we're going to have time of prayer together as a family.